But some of you may have heard of a report about a Facebook post that made national headlines a few weeks ago. A woman from Texas took offense at a display of cotton plants that were put in these glass vases and were being sold by Hobby Lobby. She referred to the display as wrong in all caps on so many levels. She saw nothing decorative about raw cotton, which she called a commodity gained at the expense of African American slaves. She demanded that Hobby Lobby remove this display, and again, she put that in all caps, implying that a little sensitivity goes a long way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm still trying to figure out why cotton is so racist. Because it's white? Unfortunately, this is the society in which we now live. A society and culture where we do not hold the very people committing sinful and unjust atrocities accountable for their actions. But instead, we blame inanimate objects. Black slaves were forced to pick cotton, therefore cotton is racist. 58 people were shot dead in Las Vegas, therefore all guns are evil and they should all be taken away and banned. I look at this and I cannot help but ask, what is the world coming to? And actually, a few weeks ago, I was in California at a formal reception. And this stranger, never met this guy a day in my life, came up to me because he found out from someone else that I was from Louisiana. Now, it's important for me to note that this guy had never been to Louisiana. He only visited Louisiana once, one part of Louisiana, and I forget where, for a short time. But this guy wasted no time in telling me how he had been to Louisiana and was saddened because he saw firsthand the bigotry that exists there. I looked at this guy and I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yes, I was just so saddened by the bigotry that exists in Louisiana." I looked at him and I said, "What bigotry?" And I actually told him the truth about Louisiana, how, at least for me myself, I've never experienced any racism anywhere I went. I've been pretty much all over the diocese of Lafayette, and not once have I ever experienced any racism whatsoever. And one of the things I told him was, racism was pretty much non-existent in Louisiana until after the Civil War, when the Yankees came and brought it here. So, even after hearing all of this from not only a black man, but a black Roman Catholic priest who was actually born and raised in Louisiana, he still refused to believe me. He said, "Well, we'll just agree to disagree." I said, "Okay, fine." So, needless to say, I not only walked away shocked and appalled, but was highly insulted and offended, because anybody insults Louisiana, especially Southwest Louisiana, I tend to take it quite personally. But it seems to me that a lot of the people that accuse us of being racist know absolutely nothing about the history of Louisiana, just like this guy didn't, or they completely ignore it. So therefore, I'm going to give a brief, compact history lesson that you will never hear anywhere else. Not even the history books can top this, I promise you. But it has long been drilled into our heads that the American Civil War was fought solely over the issue of slavery. No, it wasn't. You look at history, the Civil War was fought over a plethora of economic issues across the board, which varied with each state. And moreover, there were blacks, free blacks, who freely chose to fight and support the Confederacy. And get this, a good number of those free blacks, guess what? they owned slaves. So that debunks a whole nother myth, that slavery in America was not all whites oppressing all blacks. And as widespread as the Ku Klux Klan was in southern states such as Mississippi and Alabama, they were never active in southwest Louisiana. And I'm pretty sure that if they even tried coming here, they would have gotten the boot, no pun intended. And when schools integrated in the 1950s, there was none of the fighting and protesting that you saw in the other states. So were there race issues in Louisiana? Yes, I'm not denying that. But it was not as full-blown as people, especially these outsiders, make it out to be. And coming closer to home, to the Diocese of Lafayette. You look at the history of the Diocese of Lafayette, of which your pastor wrote a very eloquent history of, you'll see that there were such people as the Divine Word Missionaries, the Josephite Fathers, St. Catherine Drexel, and even our first bishop, Bishop Jules Zomard, who worked tirelessly to help race relations in Louisiana. Now let me focus on Bishop Zomard for a minute. Now I'll say Bishop Zomard is one of my favorite bishops. He worked tirelessly to help race relations. In fact, he did a heck of a lot more than any bishop in his time put together. When the first four black priests were ordained for the Divine Word Missionaries in 1934, no other bishop had wanted anything to do with them. Bishop Zomard said, bring them down to my diocese. I will take them. And he established parishes for them. And not only that, Bishop Zomard was one of the first, if not the first, to ordain a black priest for the Diocese of Lafayette, Father Jerome Ledoux. And he is still alive. God bless him. No, but I cannot understand for the life of me why people, especially all of these outsiders and race beaters, have to keep reopening old wounds as a means to point fingers, to cause more division, and to earn a few political points, instead of letting God's grace and time heal them. Now, back to the issue of cotton. Now, my response to this woman who claimed cotton was racist, as well as to everybody who defended her, would be this. If cotton is so racist as you claim to be, then what is most of your wardrobe, if not all of your wardrobe, made of? If I had to guess, I would have to say, wait for it, cotton. You claim cotton is racist, but you cover your whole body with it. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds quite hypocritical if you ask me. So my bottom line is this. What we have celebrated this weekend is by no means racist. And if anyone says otherwise, you tell them to take it up with me. What we have celebrated this weekend is one of the many things that unite us. And I'm willing to bet that most of you, if not all of you, have either picked cotton yourselves or have family that actually picked cotton. In fact, a black musician by the name of Leadbelly, I think his real name was Huddy Leadbetter, but he had the nickname of Leadbelly. I forget the reason why he had that nickname, but he actually wrote a song about picking cotton. And some of the lyrics goes, forgive me for torturing you by doing this, great God Almighty, we can pick a bale of cotton. And the great God Almighty, we can pick a bale a day. Jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. And the jump down, turn around, pick a bale a day. I highly encourage you to look up that song and to listen to it. And then go back and find the same version of that same song by a Zydeco musician, which I'm sure we all have heard of, Corey Ledé. He has a great version of that song, which is actually one of my favorites, and of your pastor as well. But the same God who created us all in his image and likeness, the same God who provides for all his peoples, provided such things as cotton as a means to support ourselves and our families. And moreover, we come together before this sacred altar to give thanks to God for his divine providence, that just as he provides for us physically, he may nourish us spiritually with his most precious body and blood. And as we bring this weekend to a close, let us continue to pray and in thanksgiving to God for his divine providence, but also for the healing of the wounds of sin and division that plague our community and our nation. Let's pray for the conversion of those race baiters looking to further divide us. But just as importantly, let us continue to stand united, to continue to work for that cause of unity that our forebears started, and continue their work, that all God's children can come together and shout with joy the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Behold our God to whom we looked to save us. This is the God to whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us."